This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director. Going to be talking with John Mullison, who's the Public Information Officer, Joe Foss Squadron of the Commemorative Air Force. Now, tell us, what is the Joe Foss Squadron?
Well, we're the newest squadron of a group of warbird enthusiasts called the Commemorative Air Force. When I said warbird enthusiasts, I probably understated. The Commemorative Air Force is the largest holder and operator of historic aircraft, flying historic aircraft. And the Commemorative Air Force has blessed our desire to create a Sioux Falls, South Dakota chapter, and we're calling it the Joe Foss Squadron in honor of course, the native son, Joe Foss.
Now, I've heard of the Confederate Air Force. That's in Texas, I believe.
Yeah.
And the Commemorative Air Force is mainly out of where then?
Well, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Confederate Air Force changed their name to Commemorative Air Force because Commemorative really was a better fit for the mission of the organization. So it's the same thing. But the Commemorative Air Force, that word really, it kind of encompasses the idea of preserving history and promoting a great time in American life.
Well, we have a little bit of history of air power in South Dakota, a little bit, of course. Now, John, you're not old enough to be remembering these planes when you were a kid.
Well, sort of. My dad used to build model airplanes, and he was a kid who would watch the World War II airplanes fly over his head in Denver, and so he became indoctrinated in all that glorious horsepower and in great shapes, and he would build the model airplanes, and as a little boy would get the boxes. And so I didn't get to see the airplanes, but I got to be a part of building little tiny plastic ones.
Well, now, the Sioux Falls, I remember Lindbergh came to Renner, South Dakota.
Right, I heard that too.
And had over, I think, was it 10,000 or 40,000 people? I can't remember. It was a fantastic amount of people who came out for that.
Right.
Back in that day, they didn't have any TV or internet or anything, and they would travel quite a ways. But Joe Foss, of course, the ace of the Navy.
Marines.
Yeah, the Marines?
Yeah, Marines.
Well, I'm former Navy, so we include them.
I've got some friends who are Marines who would definitely make sure that I made the distinction.
Well, he had to fly on an aircraft carrier too, you know. So,
right.
But Joe Foss, the Foss family, was, I think, one of the aviation pioneers for many years here in Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm.
As we talked earlier about his brother Cliff, who was probably one of the flying farmers, kind of like Sky King.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, John, the Commemorative Air Force, you're going to have a celebration coming up here in just about a week from tomorrow on August 12th, which is my birthday, so I plan on coming out.
Happy birthday.
But, John, the thing is, you're going to have, what, $50 million worth of history there?
Well, we're calling it $50 million worth of party decor.
Okay.
The events that are leading up to our hangar dance are just incredible. We've been able to secure the world's only B-29 to show up, a B-24 Liberator, which is another four-engine bomber. There will be two P-51 Mustangs, which is kind of the quintessential World War II fighter plane that people, Americans, get to see at air shows. We'll have two trainers, the T-6. We'll have a Stearman and a C-45, which is a kind of a twin-engine utility plane from World War II as well. And we're going to have all these, and plus we'll have our Commemorative Air Force airplane, our squadron airplane, which is an L-5 Sentinel.
These all run?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they all run. They all fly and make big noise and do cool stuff.
I remember the B-51 engine, the Allison Straight 16, was used in drag strips for drag cars for quite a few years in the 50s.
To be a nerd.
Oh, yeah.
I have to be a nerd to correct you here, though.
Oh, okay. Well, the Allison was an airplane engine.
The Allisons were in P-51As. They were a V-12 engine, but the engine that made the P-51 the great airplane that it was actually a Rolls-Royce engine called a Merlin.
We made them here in the United States, though.
Packard did, yeah.
Yeah, Packard. Boy, that's a name I haven't heard for a while. I remember one of my former Lions Club members, Hanson, was his name, drove, he flew one of the Flying Tigers into China and crashed and had quite a story in there. So Sioux Falls has quite a history. We had the radar base here, which a lot of people first, you know, discovered Sioux Falls, you might say, and came back and became a part of Sioux Falls. But the Joe Foss, tell us what you were the last, one of the last people to interview him, you say.
Yeah, that was just the November before he died. I'd met him a couple times. I mean, I'm nominally an aviation artist. I'm in it just to interview the pilots and just kind of to get the history. But I had been hounding Joe for a longer interview, and he was going to be coming out to Rapid City. And I remember he said, well, I'll give you as much time as you want, which turned out to be almost half a day, if you would draw my Wildcat, make some prints of it, and give it to the NRA as a fundraiser. And so I did that, and then Joe made good, and we sat down at a friend of his house in Rapid City and spent the morning, had breakfast, drank a bunch of coffee, and talked about life.
Well, tell us about the plane he flew.
The airplane that he is probably most known to fly was a little tubby airplane called a Grumman Wildcat. And at the time, it was the Navy and Marine fighter plane. It was a short, stocky, kind of looked like a cigar with some squarish, rectangular wings.
A tough bird, though.
Very tough airplane. And Joe was able to shoot down 26 Japanese airplanes with this airplane. And it was during a time in the history of the in World War II where the best Japanese pilots were what Joe flew up against. And so he got his 26 victories against some pretty strong odds. And I think that's why he is such a hero that he is and was such a legend.
The, you know, a lot of people listening, John, don't know what we're talking about. You know, they're the younger generation. Joe Foss was on the cover of Time magazine or Life magazine back then. I mean, this was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, Joe Foss is an amazing guy. I mean, governor, president of the NRA. He was a start of the American Football League, a political activist, just one of those guys, Renaissance guys. Plus, he also was awarded the Medal of Honor. You know, when you go out to the airport and you see that big statue of him, it's kind of a challenge for anybody to Google the name Joe Foss and just learn about what kind of guy he was. And when I got to meet him, I mean, I expected him to be bombastic and larger than life, but I was blown away by the kind of humility that he had. He was forthright. He always, you know, shot straight, so to speak. But he was a kind, compassionate, and humble guy.
So when you walk past the statue at the Sioux Falls Airport, it means something different to you.
Yeah, it does. Well, I look at him, and I see him as really an average guy who made very good decisions in life. And he didn't let things like fear or worry get to him. I think when he grew up in the Depression, his dad died at an early age. He took on the family farm. That type of culture that he grew up in, where self-sufficiency was not only important, it was expected. I think that made Joe and a lot of that generation become who they were. And so when I look at that statue, I not only see Joe, but I see that whole generation.
A generation is slipping past right through our fingers right now to really talk to these veterans that are still from World War II. There's not too many left of the Battleship South Dakota Memorial reunion that they just had. You're North Dakotans. What is it about Dakotans? They always join the Navy or the Marines. It's interesting. We have more Navy alumni and Marines alumni than we do Army.
Yeah.
Well, of course, Air Force, you know, too. But
drive out to Kadoka, look around. I think ocean looks pretty good.
Yeah. used to go out deer hunting with my dad in Rapid City, looking at those big tails of the B-52 bombers sticking up over the ridge, you know, and that type of thing. So we got a real military history in South Dakota going. Well, of course, we go clear back to the Buffalo Soldiers and Custer and that too. But John Wilson, now those listening probably don't realize you are the artist of that poster that they sell at Ace Hardware, as a fundraiser, that has all of the National Guard, South Dakota National Guard airplanes. Yeah. And it's one of the most meticulous, it's almost like you're an artist before, you know, they invented laser, you know. This is very, very, very accurate. But you got, you know, each one pointing a different direction as it goes down the poster, and you got them, you can, you know, tell the different sizes. It's very, to scale, you know, better than the model airplanes you used to build back in New York.
Thank you. That poster was really an honor. It was an honor in two parts. Number one, our Air National Guard unit is one of, if not the best in the nation. And people, South Dakotans, have every right to be proud of the leadership and the people behind our unit. But the real driving force behind that poster was to raise money for the Family Readiness Group. When our Guard unit deploys people, they're created a fund to help support the families while the warriors are away.
And they're still deploying.
Yeah. Yep. Step still deploying.
Well, now the Hangar Dance coming up Monday, August 12th, is, tell us what planes are going to be decorating the used as decor.
Our $50 million worth of decorations. Well, we're going to have a B-29, and B-29 was the bomber that dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's a tremendous, if not controversial, role in history, but we'll have the only flying B-29 here.
This is the one with the round front end.
Yeah, it's got a big, they call it a greenhouse.
Dome, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be having a B-29, and then the other airplanes will be a B-24 Liberator.
That's what McGovern flew, I believe, right?
George McGovern flew a B-24, mm-hmm. You bet. And B-24s were also stationed here in Sioux Falls during World War II.
Mitchell bombers.
B-24 Liberator, B-25 Mitchell. I'm a nerd with airplanes. I'll correct you.
They look a little bit alike.
Yeah, they have that twin tail that's mm-hmm. vertical. Only the B-24 has four engines, and the B-25 Mitchell had two.
They didn't carry, compared to nowadays, you know, or the B-52, I guess you might say, they didn't carry that much tonnage that they had to really go to a long ways to drop.
Yeah, B-52 would replace a squadron of B-17s.
And come out and take a look at these, because take a look at where the machine gunner on the belly sat.
Right. It was insane. I mean, if you think about it, I talked to... there was a B-17 gunner here in Sioux Falls, and I got to talk to him a few years ago. But he was describing to me, he was over submarine pens in northern France, and he was describing how he turned the turret down so he could have that flat window part. And he was watching the bombs kind of rattle across the submarine pens. He said it was the best seat in the war. But he would also describe what the flak would look like as it would explode underneath him. And, you know, you could hear the little, sometimes a little tink of shrapnel. It's certainly an exposed place to be.
Well, you got to dig back to some pretty old TV shows to really kind of see, you know, what those planes were like. Describing it to the younger high school age, I guess now, it was a whole different world, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, very, very, very different. It was very personal. Right now, we have grown up with so much technology. We can imagine things like, you know, radio-guided or laser-guided bombs. And by the way, most people don't realize that we did have television-guided bombs in World War II. But it was very personal, and it was interdependent. If you looked at a bomber, they had a crew of, let's just say, a crew of 10. You had people depending on people that were within that steel or aluminum tube. And the drama of how you got along and how you interacted was all there. And this little aluminum tube they're not very strong. You can take a Phillips head screwdriver and easily punch one through one of those World War II airplanes. They're strong, but they're very light. So if you can imagine those type in a bomber going over a target and having to sit, like, quote unquote, sitting ducks and be shot at, especially if you read even what the RAF went through, horrible crew losses. It was a it was a different war, and it probably deserves all the romance that we give it. But at the same time, hopefully we'll never see combat like that again.
Well, the celebration.
The celebration, yeah, that's fun. These planes
aren't cheap to run.
No, these planes are take more money than
How many gallons of what's the gas mileage on a B-29?
Oh gosh, what would be the gallon per hour? I have no idea, but it's got to be hundreds. I mean, it's these things just drink fuel. They weren't designed during the conservation movement. They were designed to haul fast and haul a lot.
Now, how close will they be able to get to these planes? Will it be?
Okay, that's a good question. Where's the tickets for the event are $50 a person, and that is used so that we can, start our funds out and start our organization so we can do what we want to do with it. However, included in that $50, we're giving a tour of the B-29. And so if you come out to the event and you have a ticket, we'll be able to get you inside that B-29, and you can see for yourself what it must have been like to be over Japan in 1944 and 1945.
This is kind of a unique chance. Not too many people get a chance to do that. It's something. Can they bring kids to it too?
You can bring kids out there. But I want to say something. We've raised the bar on that unique chance by anybody who buys one of those $50 tickets. They're also eligible for a ride in one of the three warbirds, including the P-51 Mustang, which is just the most gorgeous American fighter ever made.
Still the fastest propeller plane, I think, isn't it?
One of them.
I mean, if you go to the airplane races, it's modified P-51s that are still flying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those things are in a different league. Those racers are amazing.
Well, like I say, it's an art and it's a passion. Some people say it's more than a hobby. But to actually see these planes, get to know their stories and talk to people who, like yourself, can give their history on them. Now, Monday the 12th starts at 5:30. Yep. Tell us about the band.
The band is a swing band that we've put together. Gail Pfeiffer is his name, and he's the band leader. There's going to be 13 pieces, and it's going to be the old style swing music. If you hear that boogie woogie bugle boy stuff, but we've also kind of upped our ante with that. There's a group of people in town called Date Night Dance Company.
Oh yes,
and Jeff and Glenda Prey. They've agreed to give swing dance lessons, which. Hopefully we'll be having hangar dances in the future, and so we want people to know how to swing dance.
Well, the Joe Foss Squadron of the Commemorative Air Force is kind of like having the Sioux Falls chapter of Star Trek.
Cool.
In the history.
We'll take it.
In the history way. How many are a member of the Joe Foss Squadron right now?
I think we have, we started out with 5, and believe it or not, I think we have 30.
And where do you meet and how can people join?
That's a great question. Our website is cafjoefoss.com. And simply that's CAF for Commemorative Air Force, joefoss.com. And we meet the people out of Maverick Air Center have been gracious enough to let us use their fantastic facilities. They have a beautiful building out there. And we meet in their conference room on Saturday mornings. And it's open to the public. People have to join the Commemorative Air Force National first, and then they can join our squadron. And there's some very good reasons for that, because we're a club, but we're also involved around historic aircraft. And there's liabilities and things like that. I mean, accidents happen, but this club is more than just a group of people getting around talking history and airplanes. We own an airplane. We have an L-5 Sentinel, and it's about restoring that airplane, keeping it into flying condition, giving rides, and getting people into the lore of aviation. So this is we like to think it's a big deal.
What is an L-5 Sentinel?
Hopefully you'll be seeing it overhead a lot. It's a little two-place, they called it a liaison aircraft. Mm-hmm. And it was used by generals to survey the battlefield or, in some cases, airlift people out. It's a small airplane, two people, high wing, but a tail dragger. And ours is painted olive, olive drab, gray on the bottom, stars and bars. And I'm going to get to paint the nose art on this airplane when it arrives here on sometime around the 7th, 8th, or 9th.
Is that an all-metal skin, or is it canvas?
No, this is canvas and wood. This is the way it should be.
Kind of like the Scouts.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's starting right now in Sioux Falls. You can get on the ground floor. And really, word of mouth is all you've had right now so much.
Yeah, we don't have an ad budget, but word of mouth is going pretty well.
Well, there's a lot of veterans out there that probably this will bring back a lot of memories. Are you trying to capture some of that history while you can?
Yeah, very much. As a matter of fact, I want to let people know that World War II veterans, $50 per ticket is, obviously it's a fundraiser, but World War II veterans, we would never charge a World War II vet anything to come out and be a part of our deal. It's important that we can look at age and history and realize that real people that we can see and meet every day were a part of real history. History isn't something abstract that we only learn about on television. It's made up of real people who are doing real stuff. And to meet World War II veterans, or even veterans of any moment in history, military history tends to be those moments that get the most attention. So I'm not just highlighting military history, but when you meet somebody, you can't help but walk away and get a deeper appreciation of what it takes to make a nation work.
And that radar base we had in World War II was bigger than Sioux Falls. All those people liked it here. They married or met girls here, came back and married them, and created the workforce that became Morrells and really built and made Sioux Falls what it is. We're standing on the shoulders of those people.
Yeah, we stand on the shoulders of giants.
Well, as one said, the greatest generation, and to appreciate that. But to appreciate the, like I say, when the war started, most of these planes didn't exist when the war started. These were things that came off the drawing boards and came off the Ford assembly plant or whichever, almost in, like 6 months.
Right. The B-29 was certainly designed after World War II started, and that bomber people need to appreciate the amount of risk and assertive, forward-minded thinking behind these engineers who were able to take a goal and make it happen in such a short period of time. The B-29 is a quantum leap in aviation design, and it happened so quickly. The P-51 Mustang is a great story. That airplane went from napkin drawing to a prototype that was waiting an engine in, I think it was 100 days, and it was flying, I think, in 118, which is just unbelievable.
And they made thousands of them.
Thousands of them.
Very few left. How many are?
P-51s, there's probably a couple hundred worldwide, but B-29's one. The B-24 that'll be here, I think that's maybe one of 4 or 5 flying.
Well, I was going to say parts would be a problem, but now we have 3D printers.
Right. And yeah, a lot of that technology is actually making restoring some of these warbirds doable and profitable.
Having the roar of not just one, but 4 engines in harmony, that's something that you don't get anywhere else.
No.
And the power and the torque and like I say, this is something August 12th, it's a Monday, at the Maverick
Air Center.
Air Center. What's the best way to get there? Is it just north of the airport?
Yeah, just head on north on Minnesota, and I think it's the second left past the one to go into the airport. And there's signs out there to Maverick, and you wind your way around back there, and you go by the Army Guard's supply depot. And Maverick is really at the end of the airport. I mean, it's designed to take care of airplanes. It's not designed to be, the gas station for cars. But once you get out there, it's a beautiful facility, and Maverick takes great care of people. And it's a, I just can't go on and off about how grateful we are for their help.
John Mollison, Public Information Officer, Joe Foss Squadron of the Commemorative Air Force, the national organization. And your hangar dance, August 12th, Monday, August 12th, a week from tomorrow, 5:30 till, I suppose, the last...
Till we kick the last guy right. out, yeah.
And your website again.
CAFJoeFoss.com.
CAF, for like Commemorative Air Force, CAF.
JoeFoss.com.
And Foss is F-O-S-S. I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. This is an honor.
A story in the Omaha Tribune interested me this last week because they've been very busy there making hedgehogs and sugar gliders legal as pets in Omaha because I guess they're so cute. But in Sioux Falls, I thought I'd check around. We talked to pet stores called the Great Plains Zoo, the Humane Society, Department of Natural Resources, Game Fish and Parks, went to the Animal Board in Pier, the Health Department, and ended up with Animal Control Officer Mike Caldwell, who says they're not on the official list of what Sioux Falls defines as a pet. Well, first of all, the state didn't have any problem with the sugar sliders or the hedgehogs. But I guess most people wouldn't realize, but there's actually a list in Sioux Falls that we have to go by. So can you kind of summarize, or what do you want to tell people about that?
Basically, in Sioux Falls, pets are defined by city ordinance. And so sugar gliders and hedgehogs wouldn't currently fit the definition of pets in the city of Sioux Falls. Currently, specific animals that are listed under pets in the city of Sioux Falls would be like your standard animals, dogs, cats, smaller animals, certain reptiles, certain birds. But the sugar gliders and the hedgehog would technically fall under what the city of Sioux Falls would consider as exotic. And that's only to say that they basically just aren't an animal that would be naturally occurring in the United States. It's something that people are importing just specifically to have as pets.
If they're popular and people, like I say, they're kind of cute, I guess you might say. More people want to have these. Would they have to pretty much pass an ordinance to put them on the list then? Or?
Yeah, but what would happen to happen would be people would have to come forward to the city council and say that, you know, they are interested in seeing these two animals become something that would be a legal pet in Sioux Falls. And then they would have to actually change the language in the ordinance a little bit to make it legal to own those in the city of Sioux Falls.
Well, sugar sliders and hedgehogs are some that came up with because of the Omaha story. Are there other animals that are starting to appear on the horizon?
I know this year, as far as pets go, we haven't seen a whole lot of new pets or things that people have contacted us as animals that they're interested in having in pets. But there's kind of been a bit of a national push for people to be allowed to do some more urban ag type stuff. And a lot of people are having chickens in town. And we did pass an ordinance recently in Sioux Falls that allows people to have up to 6 chickens within the city limits. Prior to that time, before the ordinance passed, there really wasn't anything regulating the number of chickens that people could own. So now that we passed that ordinance, it just makes it more of a standardized process, and it allows people to have 6 chickens within the city of Sioux Falls.
All right. I think the state has, you can have a license for one, what they call wild animal. Is that anything that applies?
It wouldn't. What the state has wouldn't override what we have as a city ordinance as far as what we would allow you to have as a pet in the city of Sioux Falls.
If you want to check to see if your pet is on the official pet list in Sioux Falls, you can talk to Animal Control Officer Mike Caldwell. The sugar sliders are kind of big-eyed little monkeys, shades of Justin Bieber, I guess. This is For Him. I'm John Michaels.